This is Farm Talk, Mick Kerr, North Dakota Corn Council Studio, on a week that is National Agronomists Week. That's right, and this does not just include those who have a degree in plant science, agronomists. This would include your seed salesman, anybody involved with crop protection, like Greg LaPlante down there in southeast North Dakota. Happy National Agronomists Week, Greg.
Boy, now I know the handout awards for just about any group.
You thought it was just Secretary's Week that was important. No, it's Agronomists Week.
Yeah, it's U.S. I don't know. Do we fall in the essential category?
You darn tootin', because farmers can't grow great crops without their crop consultants. And, you answer a lot of questions. You're on your hands and knees more than farmers. Because you're out there in the field digging around and trying to figure out what's going on.
Well, usually what wears out on my boots first are the toes and not the soles.
Yeah, indeed. Well, anyway, we salute you and all of the other agronomists out there, and everybody appreciates what you do. So give us a report on field conditions at the confluence of the Dakotas and Minnesota.
Well, a week ago Friday, we were looking pretty darn good, before that weather event showed up. I thought the way some of these sugar beet fields from last year that got harvested in pretty good shape, the way they were coming along, you might see some field activity 10 days from then. And after talking to a couple guys yesterday, with 6 inches of snow out there by Morton, we lost 8 to 10 days on that process. But the snow is pretty much all gone down here that we did get. As you moved east, then it was a little bit more freezing rain and less snow. So like in Otter Tail County, they really didn't receive much snow at all.
What I have noticed, though, in the last 12 hours, the standing water has not totally disappeared, but it's really gone down. Is that the case down there?
Yeah, there again, as recent as 5-6 days ago, there was no water in the ditches. Most of the feeder streams that fed into, the Red River, had already dropped down to spring normal levels and everything else like that. So we were doing pretty good.
And now a little bit of a setback. What? Just take a ballpark figure guess. First day that you'll see wheels a-turning in the fields.
Well, I was just looking at temperatures. Today is not too bad over in Otter Tail County, a little bit cooler as we move north and west, but when you take a look at it being 80 degrees down in Nebraska, that's awfully tempting. But your week forecast for next week doesn't look too good, does it?
No, I'm afraid not. We'll be a lot of 30s and 40s and clouds and whatnot, and maybe the week after a little bit better as far as falling precip, but not much warmer. March and February went down as one of the top, I can't remember, 9 or 3 as far as driest ever and warmer than normal. And I think April is going to go down as cooler than normal when it's all done.
Well, I think what are the forecasters kind of talking? We're going to make it back in May. May for our area is going to be warm. At least that's kind of what I heard. One thing about this year that's different than last year, by the time we hit the fields, there would be absolutely zero frost left out in the field. So our field conditions can shape up a lot better. Even for the rain that we had last fall, I noticed even last week a lot of those cornfields that, were pretty darn wet, they weren't looking too bad. So we had moisture move down a lot of the winter through the profile, and in the way that the tile pumps were running here 10 days to 2 weeks ago, I know we were taking water out that way.
And I keep trying to say positive things on the radio here. One day soon we'll be over this global pandemic. Things will get back to normal. But when the sun starts coming out, like you say, we get some warmer conditions, drier conditions to finish April, go into May. And without that frost that you mentioned, man, those soil temperatures are going to warm rapidly, won't they?
Oh, yeah, they'll come up very quick. And you can tell it now. just by the heat that that sun can generate and the length of days and everything, we get a little breeze and the top, you know, few inches can start looking pretty good. But there again, we have to be very cognizant of the fact that they're still saturated or near field capacity down below. So we don't want to be making mistakes this year that we'll just never be able to recover from. I mean, prices are so low the way it is, we can't be giving up any yield potential.
And that includes stay out of those muddy fields and don't get too early out there to work those ruts that you made last fall? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, there's no advantage to working anything ruts when the surface is already damp. I mean, all you got to do is create clods and rocks that, you know, later on your field might be able to carry your planting equipment, but you won't have a seed bed. And, you know, that creates all kinds of problems. So I don't think this year is the year to be risking any of that. You know, if a grower is worried about getting a field in, you have to take a look at the economics of the situation and whether you can get that field planted in good shape or whether you should just take the PP on it.
All right. Greg LaPlante down there in southeast North Dakota, crop consultant, GBL Consulting. GLP, I'm sorry. So we've been talking for like 5 or 6 minutes now, kind of setting the stage for crops to plant. What are guys going to plant? Are they going to veer away from what they've said, what their rotation has been, or are guys going to pretty much stick to the rotation?
Well, I think, you know, things are changing pretty rapidly right now. Since they started talking about some of our ethanol plants closing the doors for a little while, which creates even more of a basis problem for us down here in corn. So I've heard some guys that have backed off fairly significantly from the corn and looking at probably planting some more soybeans. If we could get another dollar into the wheat market, I think that we'd be planting more wheat acres. So I think this thing, you know, 2 weeks ago we would have said, you know, 2 weeks ago we're pretty holding pretty fast to what our plans are. I think right now everything's so fluid that we can really see some change in planted acres, especially up here. But, you know, for the guys down in Ohio and in Indiana that are looking at wet conditions, I sure hope that they don't plant corn into the middle of June like they did last year. We don't need the extra corn acres.
Man, I guess 97 million, but a 8-point-something percent decrease in the amount of corn acres in North Dakota. Do you buy what USDA told us last week?
Well, I buy the North Dakota numbers. I mean, that's probably conservative, but I would think if they start shuttering ethanol plants in Iowa, that could change their crop mix real quick.
How about sugar beets in southeast North Dakota in the Mindak area there where you're working? Are we going to get in early, and are guys going to stick as many sugar beet acres in as they possibly can?
Well, I think we'll plant what's required of us. I don't think anybody's going to be willing to plant any more than that, even if they were allowed that. It just depends upon, you know, some of those fields that I looked at last week that were wheat acres and, you know, soybean acres from last year that were in good shape were shaping up pretty quick. So if the weather gets cool but stays dry and we can get some drying, we won't be opposed to planting sugar beets here in a couple weeks.
How about wheat? I mean, there's more than two or three wheat fields in Richland. There never was before, but is there going to be a little more wheat in southeast North Dakota, northeast South Dakota, west central Minnesota?
Well, I think that it kind of boils down to those corn and soybean acres, but our big problem is developing in our area down here soybean cyst nematode. And I think that'll be showing its ugly face as it goes north here in the next couple of years. But, you know, we've taken some yield hits on our soybean average yields, and if that wheat soybean spread starts to tighten up, I think guys might start looking at if field conditions are ready before they're able to plant soybeans, or we might plant a little bit more wheat.
Any other, I guess, don't want to call them minor crops, but any of the other Crops, you know, field peas south of Highway 200, probably not a good idea. But other crops that might be kind of niche crops that might start seeing a few more acres in your neighborhood.
Well, I think, you know, there's been a lot of talk about sunflowers in North Dakota. Acres could be up again this year and stuff like that. You know, that's also kind of something a person needs to watch. I mean, there's been enough soybeans on soybeans. We've had enough bad white mold situations the last few years that growers have got to really be careful on putting sunflowers into those fields. There might be some dry bean growth. You know, our guys have been in and out of dry beans the last few years. They might go back into that. But I think for the most part, growers aren't trying to really get too aggressive on alternative crops that might be risky or require investment in equipment. It gets to be is whether or not they can contract it and act about God clauses and everything else like that. So sunflowers might be the one that would find some interest down here.
All righty. How about tillage methods? Is strip till gaining a little bigger foothold?
Well, I think we would have seen a lot more acres strip tilled last fall. And there again, lots of acres is based upon 1 or 2% in the previous years, you know. So if you double that and have 100% growth, maybe you only have 4%. But, you know, we just were too wet to see any acres get strip-tilled last fall. But I think depending upon the prevent plant acres and cover crops and everything else, there may be even more interest in cover crop or strip-till next fall.
Okay. Interesting stuff. All right, Greg LaPlante, thank you very much for being able to chat a little bit. Again, tip of the hat to all the agronomists and crop consultants out there. This is your week, and I hope somebody buys you a cup of coffee. And, of course, now they got to sit 6 feet down the line from you. But maybe someday soon we can all get together and, again, salute our crop consultants and agronomists out there. So, Greg, any other thoughts here as we wrap her up here today?
Well, the big thing would be a supply chain. So growers need to be talking with their suppliers and getting product on the floor there at the farm, just in case we have a disruption in the supply chain. You know, there isn't a lot of room on the corporate world to allow disease spread within their facilities. So ask the questions on what could happen if we get disrupted.
Yeah, excellent point. I visited with the folks at CHS yesterday, and everybody says they're well prepared, but things change quickly. So excellent.
Yeah, if they end up with one or two sick employees, they may have to shut the whole facility down.
Yeah, for sure. And hire a big crew to come in and disinfect, and yeah, that takes a while. So, all righty, yeah. Greg, always good to visit with you. Have a good spring, and we'll check in with you every now and then.
Yeah, give me a buzz in a month, and we'll see where we're at.
All righty, will do. Until then, stay safe, stay healthy.
Thanks, Nick. You too.
Yep, and thanks for keeping the crops healthy.